It's the beautiful game of football. To be more specific, it's the English Premier League, the best football you can find in almost everywhere. You look around. When you put all that together, you want the best talk show, the best of analysis that actually gives you the best football on the land. You want to hear insights, expert analysis to that. And where can you find it? Right here. This is Tetra Soccerst. Welcome. My name is Adam. It's always a pleasure to have you here. I am always the host of this excitement, of this beautiful journey. And yes, it's been just about 2 weeks. There was an international break and there was the FA Cup in the middle of all that. But we are back. It is time to let you know that the English Premier League is resuming the month of February. And for those who don't know, well, on behalf of Tetra Soccerst, I do say Happy New Month. Welcome to February. 2022 is slowly... is moving at a steady rate. Welcome to February. And on the on the 8th of February, we begin another journey. But before I tell you what is going to happen on the 8th of February, let's rewind a bit. Let's go back to the last game week. Watford against Norwich City was a beautiful day for a new signing that has not picked up since he was signed in the summer. Josh Sargent, the name from Werder Bremen, signed for around £20 million, finally got his scoring record running for the relegation threat inside Norwich City. They won that game by 3-0 against Claudio Ranieri's Norwich. Also, I can tell you that that game wrapped up Claudio Ranieri's tenure as the manager for Watford. Claudio Ranieri is no longer the manager and they have now assigned Roy Hodgson on their quest to survive relegation this season. But at the end of the day, it's a question of can it happen. Away from that one, life is still looking good at Steven Gerrard as he went away to the Goodison Park. And guess what? A 1-0 victory. Emiliano Buendia, the shortest man on the pitch, scoring a header against said Everton side. What a beauty. Lucas Digne's cross, Emiliano Buendia's header, 1-0, final whistle. That game also marked the end for Rafa Benitez as he's no longer the manager for Everton. They have now assigned and a familiar face who left a few months ago and now he's back with us. Frank Lampard is the new manager for the Everton side. Away from that one, Bruno Lage, our Premier League manager of the month. He was the Premier League manager of the month of February. 3 wins in 3 games played. Bruno Lage's men, they traveled all the way to London. And guess what? They came out with a victory. One of their conquests in January included their last one against Brentford. 1-2. Wolves won away from home. Then away from that one, Newcastle won their game against Leeds United by 1-0, also away from home. Manchester United against West Ham was a very tricky one, but at the end of the day, who knows? A Nigerian time winner is always on the cards anywhere you play against United. That was like a very popular script during the Ole tenure, and it happened this time under Ralf Rangnick, the new manager. 1-0 in favor of Manchester United. Marcus Rashford scored in the 93rd minute. After 3 minutes of stoppages were added, against West Ham United. West Ham held on. They tried their best. They were really hoping for that 1 point. I'm pretty sure at that point, Arsenal fans were actually happy with that result. Until their hearts were broken, Edinson Cavani scored back, Marcus Rashford into an open net, and he did not miss. Manchester City, on the other hand, dropped points. 13-14 games winning streak ended by Southampton. I remember saying this match was going to be tricky for them, and it was tricky at the end of the day. Kyle Walker-Peters got the opening goal, but thanks to Aymeric Laporte, they did not lose out on 3 points. They did not lose out all points. They were able to pick one from the St. Mary's Park. 1-1, Manchester City against Southampton ended. Away from that one, on Sunday, Leicester City against Brighton also played out a 1-1 draw. Arsenal played an unfortunate goalless draw against Burnley, which means they have now dropped into seventh. Crystal Palace lost at home against Liverpool by 3-1. Chelsea beat Antonio Conte's Tottenham by 2-0, which means Chelsea have played Tottenham 4 times this season and Tottenham did not score in any of those occasions and lost on all 4 occasions. Unfortunate for Antonio Conte, but it's just what it is. When you go against the big boys, you expect to actually just dish out your best performance, but their best was not enough. Burnley against Watford was the extra game in the game week and they ended a goalless draw. Then congratulations to our newly crowned champions of Africa. It has to be said. Sadio Mane, Senegal have won the first AFCON in their entire country's history. This set, led by Sadio Mane, Aliou Cisse was the coach. Sadio Mane, Kalidou Koulibaly, and the likes. Edouard Mendy was the goalkeeper, was the hero for them as well. He saved the penalty in the penalty shootout. The game had to actually stretch out against Egypt. Mohamed Salah against Sadio Mane, everybody looked up to it. He did live up to expectation. It was a goalless draw, but it was not exactly short of excitement. Sadio Mane missed a penalty during normal regulation time in the very, very early stages of the game. In the 7th minute, Sadio Mane missed a penalty. Unfortunately for Egypt as well, they couldn't capitalize on it. So, well, he went 90 minutes goalless, 120 minutes still goalless. And then when he got to the lotteries, congratulations to Senegal as they won the penalty shootout by 4-2. I will be back shortly, and when that time comes, I will be able to tell you what's going to happen on the 8th, on the 9th, and on the 10th of February. But before I do that, let's quickly run through the statistics briefly. Manchester City are on top of the table. They still are on top of the table, 57 points. Unfortunately, they have dropped points now. So the points between them and Liverpool, between Manchester City and Liverpool in second place, is now 9 points and not 11. Manchester City 57, Liverpool 48, Chelsea 47, Manchester United this time around have now stepped into the top 4, 38 points, West Ham United 5th with 37 points, Arsenal 6th with 36 points, Tottenham Hotspur 7th with 36 points, Wolverhampton Wanderers 8th with 34 points. So you can see how interesting it is when it comes to the final team that's going to probably end up making the Champions League places. It's looking like at this point, if the season ended this way, you'd say yes. As it stands, you say yes, Manchester City, Liverpool, and Chelsea are looking to go back into the Champions League next season. But that fourth team to go into the Champions League, the two teams to go into the Europa League, and the one extra team that will be going, and the one team from England that will be going to the Conference League, is those spots are still wide open to play for. And it has been contested by about six teams. So it's a very open race. Anybody can lose out. Anybody can pick it up at any point. So it's going to be interesting to look out. On the flip side of things, on the bottom half, for the first time in weeks, again, Norwich stay outside the relegation zone, 16 points, 17th place. Watford are 18th with 15 points. Newcastle 19th with 15 points. Burnley are bottom with 13 points. On the goalscorers list, Mohamed Salah didn't look to miss much as he's still on top of the goalscorers chart, 16 goals. Diogo Jota is second with 10 goals. Jamie Vardy still out with a lengthy layoff, has 9 goals to his name. On the assist chart, it's unfortunate, but it's more or less interesting, actually. Let me rephrase that properly. It's a very, very interesting lineup, actually. The top three are now for just one single team, which means they are scoring a lot. Trent Alexander-Arnold is top of the assist chart with 10 assists. Mohamed Salah with 9 assists is second, and Andre Robertson is third with 8 assists. On the clean sheet race, well, Ederson Moraes is on top with a dozen clean sheets, 12 clean sheets to his name. Aaron Ramsdale and Alisson Becker are the chasing packs, joint second with 10 clean sheets. Jose Sa, Hugo Lloris, Edouard Mendy also have 8 clean sheets to their name and their joint third. On that note, I can tell you I will take a short breather. I will be back and it will be time to tell you what will happen on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February. Do not stay anywhere. I will be right back. Welcome back to Tetra Soccer. I still remain your host, Adam. It's always a pleasure to be here. And now this is the part where we actually came for. Welcome to the analysis segment. To start with, like I said a few minutes earlier, I said Newcastle against Everton, West Ham against Watford, Burnley against Manchester United, Manchester City against Brentford, Southampton against Tottenham Hotspur, Norwich City against Crystal Palace, Aston Villa against Leeds United, Liverpool against Leicester City, and Wolves against Arsenal are the 9 games lined up for your enjoyment this midweek. Well, anyways, away from that one, let's now tell you what we have on ground. Let's get into it one after another. Newcastle against Everton. Usually, this one is a little bit tricky because Newcastle are looking to have this resurgence. They've made new signings. They want to actually get out of the relegation zone and everything. They would fight and fight and fight until they actually get out of that place. But at the same time, an Everton side that are just rejuvenating. I mean, they finally won a game since October when they defeated Brentford in the FA Cup. So it's looking like a new manager bounce. Frank Lampard already has his first win in the bag. Now it's the Premier League where everything is on the line for also Newcastle, because Everton also knee deep in that relegation zone. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're about 15th or 16th. So it's beginning to look very, very tricky, actually, when you look at it on plain sight. Yes, squad-wise, yes, Everton should win, but at the same time, there's everything on the line and new manager bounces, why I would be tipping Everton to win that game. In our second game, we have West Ham against Watford. Watford just got a new manager. They have also made a couple of signings. There's Sam Okalu from Bordeaux, so the Nigerian. So putting all that into context, I would say yes, Watford, new manager, new players. They're also trying to bring new life into their team, also trying to find their relegation. And West Ham, top gear form, they lost to United, so it's unfortunate for them, but away from that one, they're looking to move on, bounce back, and actually step back into that top four race like they are still on. So putting all that out there, I would say yes, West Ham United have the upper hand, but at the same time, if they are not careful, if they take matters too lightly, Watford can definitely burn them. But personally, I will be tipping West Ham United to win that game. Away from that one, the next fixture is Burnley against Manchester United. I mean, this one does not even require so much chemistry. I feel like this one does not require so much talk. The only addition to the Burnley team is a new striker, Wout Weghorst. But at the same time, Manchester United were able to cut short and maybe trim their squad a little bit. They let Donny van de Beek out on a six-month loan. They let Anthony Martial out on a six-month loan. They let Amad Diallo out on a six-month loan. So all that kind of trims the Manchester United. The players are not exactly starters, but at the same time, it's kind of like trimming it down a bit and just maybe allowing the players to play their own game. So, and considering the Manchester United team are looking to actually strengthen up and everything, they are still trying to fight for that top four. They are really, really trying their possible best to actually play in the Champions League next season. So, yeah, I think put all that into context, put all that out there. When you put it on plain paper, when you actually do the math and when you do the add and subtract, I think Manchester United should be winning that game. If I want to go bold, I'll say maybe a 2-0 scoreline. Away from that one, we come to Wednesday. Manchester City against Brentford is where we start on Wednesday. It's the Etihad Stadium. So home ground advantage to Manchester City, number one. Second advantage to Manchester City is we usually know that when Pep Guardiola drops points, when he loses or draws a game, he wants to bounce back immediately. So Brentford are not exactly the top side. They just lost their last game in the FA Cup. They just got knocked out of the FA Cup in the fourth round too by Everton. So they are not exactly in the best shape. And also their Premier League form of late has been dwindling. So how best to bounce back if not against a team that is not exactly in top form? So I think Manchester City should be taking them to the cleaners easily. I mean, very, very easily. I'm thinking 3-4 goals by the City game, by the City team, is actually not a bad way to go. Then I'll talk of the tricky one. Tottenham Hotspur against Southampton. Good news for Tottenham Hotspur. They added Dejan Kulusevski. They added Rodrigo Bentancur during the January transfer window. And luckily for them, Son Heung-min is also back. He played in the FA Cup against Brighton and Hove Albion. So yes, they are looking to actually restock shop, and they lost Brian Gill. Brian Gill is on loan, as well as Tanguy Ndombele. So, well, Tottenham should be winning that game. But at the same time, Southampton, with all their firepower, it looks like Amando Broha, one of their talisman up front, is actually going to be out for a while. Shea Adams is still there. Don't forget Salisu, the Nigerian international. Don't forget Jan Bednarek is still their marshal in defense. So yes, who knows? And of course, Jan Bednarek is very, very good at set pieces. Guess who knows how to take set pieces a lot? James Ward-Prowse. So that cross, that header might actually be what would down Tottenham at the end of the day. But Antonio Conte, looking to bounce back from that Chelsea loss, would definitely want to pick up maximum points and want to introduce new blood. And if their new signings actually, if they hit the board running, yes, Tottenham Hotspur should be winning that game easily. I would say maybe a 3-1 scoreline for Tottenham Hotspur. Norwich City against Crystal Palace, I really don't want to dwell much on this one, but if I'm going to be honest, I think Norwich will lose this one, maybe 2-1. Then on our next game on Wednesday, also on Wednesday night, 9 p.m. on Wednesday night, Aston Villa against Leeds United. This one is just a little bit tricky. Steven Gerrard is still enjoying life. He's still enjoying life in the Premier League as a manager so far. He has done well, actually. Those boys are actually firing up for him. But at the same time, you know that it's more or less like when you feel, yes, at some points they are bound to lose. And maybe, just maybe, I'm just saying, just maybe the time when they are bound to lose is this game against Leeds United. But at the same time, Leeds United are looking to pick themselves up. They have not exactly been that top-notch team. The free-scoring team, we've seen them over in the last season. They have not been up there. Rafinha is still their main man. Rodrigo Moreno, Daniel James, Rafinha, Jack Harrison. These guys are just trying their best, but they have not been there. But if Aston, if anything can capitalize on Leeds' dwindling form, it should be this determined Aston Villa side. I mean, they are the change in manager definitely brought something to life for them. And of course, they did not exactly have a blank transfer window in January. They brought in Philippe Coutinho, they brought in Callum Chambers to reinforce their defense. They lost my target anyways, but I feel like Callum Chambers is good supplement to their defense as well. So at the end of the day, I think Aston Villa should win that one. But if Leeds are supposed to get anything out of it, I don't think they can get all 3 points. I think it's just going to be if the best Leeds can get in this game is a draw, if they can get anything out of it. Then we come to Thursday. Tricky night for me, actually. Both games are actually very, very, they're not exactly straightforward. Liverpool against Leicester City, Wolverhampton Wanderers against Arsenal. To start with, I think Mr. Jurgen Klopp should maybe ease a little bit on the AFCON players. Except maybe Naby Keita, because they left a little bit earlier. But the Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, I think we should still give them this game off, give them time to rest before bringing them back into the fold of the squad. But just so now, putting that as your baseline, I would say the likes of Diogo Jota, Roberto Firmino, Luis Diaz, a new signing for them. I think this is actually a very, very good game to actually bring in the new signing, embed him into the team, see what he can do. So, yeah, Liverpool on that, and on that's from the Liverpool side, on the Liverpool point of things. And the other hand, you go into the Leicester side of things and you say, well, in fact, this Leicester City, I would never quote it or anything. They have been very, very disappointing of recent. This Leicester City team they've not been top notch. They've been very, very bad. And I mean extremely bad this season. Especially in their last few games. They lost the 2-0 lead to Tottenham a few weeks ago. After that, even their FA Cup tie, they lost very, very bad to Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest, exactly. I understand they are not exactly a small team, but losing 4-1 to Nottingham Forest is very, very poor. It is very, very shambolic. It is very, very bad. Anyhow you look at it, it is extremely bad. You do not lose by 4-1 against Nottingham Forest. As a Premier League side, it doesn't define you as a top-notch side. So, Leicester are not in very, very good form. And except they are looking to rejuvenate themselves from this very, very game, I think Liverpool should be winning by 2-3 goals. A 2-3 goal margin actually wouldn't sound so bad for Liverpool at the end of the day. And finally, Wolverhampton Wanderers against Arsenal. Why this one is tricky, you would ask me. Arsenal not in the best of form. Wolverhampton Wanderers, they are right now. I think this is the point where they actually caught fire. Bruno Lage finally, I think he finally got that machine properly oiled. They are working seamlessly. Unfortunately for them, though, one of their boys is now in Barcelona. Adama Traore signed a 6-month loan with Barcelona, so they don't have their dribbling speedster. But away from that one, of course, the likes of Raul Jimenez, Daniel Podence, João Moutinho, Ruben Neves, these guys have always been instrumental to them. So Francisco Trincao, Nelson Semedo, these guys should be able to get the work done without even breaking a sweat. Usually, I would not say without breaking a sweat, because at the end of the day, it is Arsenal. Put some prestige on the name. It is still Arsenal. So Bruno Lage winning the manager of the month. Three wins all through January. So they are in fine form, actually, when you look at the Wolverhampton Wanderers team. And then when you go to the Arsenal camp, it's not exactly rosy. They've lost Callum Chambers. They've also lost Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Those two guys, I understand that Aubameyang was not exactly the top player for them. He was not in the squad per se for the Arsenal side for a while already. So maybe they will not actually miss him so much. But the January transfer window did not look so good for us. In fact, it was not good for Arsenal. From a random person's point of view, it was not good for Arsenal. They lost and did not gain anything. The Dusan Blažić they were chasing did not come. They tried Otamendi, it did not work out. They tried Denis Zakaria, it did not work out. Almost everything they did not actually go right for them. So, looking at this Arsenal team, it means Bukayo Saka, Emile Smith-Rowe, Martin Odegaard, the likes, Gabriel Martinelli, Edin Ketia would get minutes until the very end of the season. They are working, they are still going to be playing the attack based on kids to the end of the season. So, Arsenal should be careful. Arsenal should be very, very careful. So, can they work it? Yes, they can. If can these kids actually get the job done for them? It's Arsenal, anything can happen. It's the game of football where also anything can happen. But if I'm going to be honest, one thing I'll put out there is, I think Arsenal, in this particular context, in this particular game, Arsenal are the underdogs of this particular game. With all due respect to Arsenal, yes, they are Arsenal, they are the gigantic Arsenal, they are the mighty Arsenal. But in this context, in this particular game, I think Arsenal are the underdogs of this fixture. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a very, very tricky game week. it's laced with a lot of interesting options. I mean, when you look at the Castle Everton game, it's also a game where you can look at and be like, okay, yes, the Richarlison, if Dominic Calvert-Lewin is available, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison should get the job done for Everton. Frank Lampard looks to be capitalizing, and considering he brought in new signings, Dele Alli, Donny van de Beek, those guys look like very, very quality signings, very good additions to the midfield. So you can, if you actually works out Frank Lampard, maybe for my FPL managers, you might be looking towards, yes, Donny van de Beek and Dele Alli. Of course, in attack, Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin is also one of the attackers you can look into. And don't forget the kid, Anthony Gordon. He is very, very spectacular. He has something special about him. You can tell that there's something about that kid. So if he gets the minutes, he's somebody you can also trust to actually get the job done for you. Then in the West Ham Watford game, you look at the likes of Jared Bowen too. It still looks like he's in fine form. Just maybe pick themselves up after the United loss and pick it up from there. Emmanuel Dennis from Watford. Watford are not exactly looking so delicious right now, but you can still maybe stick with Emmanuel Dennis. Josh King also, maybe if there's going to be an upset, definitely you can almost expect it through Josh King and Emmanuel Dennis in the attack line. But for the West Ham team, of course, you can sell Manuel Lanzini, Pablo Fornals, Michael Antonio. Like I mentioned earlier, Jared Bowen, these guys, Anthony, Cresswell should be doing the crosses and the likes. So it's a lot of options when it comes to West Ham than for Watford. Then for the United game against Burnley, I would say yes, Bruno Fernandes. Paul Pogba is back. It looks like he's enjoying life. Although they lost, they also crashed out of the FA Cup in disappointing fashion. But I think they still have enough to get it against Burnley. So Paul Pogba maybe get back on the assists. Bruno Fernandes looks to be doing something interesting. Cristiano Ronaldo, if they are going to be assists, then Cristiano Ronaldo should be scoring the goals. Jadon Sancho scored in the FA Cup, so maybe he can actually bring that form, that confidence to the Premier League. If he gets the minutes, maybe Jadon Sancho can actually do something as well. In the Manchester City-Brentford game, I'll be looking towards Kevin De Bruyne now, Phil Foden. I mean, the City lineup, of course, we know it's laced with a lot of stars, so when you look at it from that angle, it's almost an array. Pick anybody, pick what you want, dog. João Cancelo, Kevin De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Ilkay Gundogan, Phil Foden, Jack Grealish. Riyad Mahrez is back in that mix. So exactly, Mahrez scored 2 goals in the FA Cup, so Mahrez is actually more or less informed than the others. Then away from that one, Tottenham against Southampton. So the last time I remember it was last season, where they met and Son scored 4 goals in this fixture. Son Heung-min scored 4 goals in this fixture, 4 assists by Harry Kane. But at some point, I hope, and I really, really hope, and I think, and yeah, just based on my hope, I really, really pray and hope that Harry Kane picks up his Premier League form back. I really, really, I love that man so much, and I think, yes, this is probably my pessimistic side speaking, my sentimental side, rather, let me rephrase that. My sentimental side saying Harry Kane should get back in form, get the goal. So yes, if you are willing to take that risk, 12.5 million is a lot of money in FPL. That's 1/8 of your whole team's budget to put on one player. And if you are going to put it on one player, if one player can actually get the job done for you at any time, when he picks up, when his head is in the game, Harry Kane. So if Harry Kane is listening to this, Mr. Harry Kane, please and please put your head in the game. Southampton looks like a very, very good picking up point for you. Norwich City against Crystal Palace, I would not really advise much, but definitely, of course, Sam Gallagher is Conor Gallagher, rather, is the kid, is the one everybody's talking about. So Conor Gallagher, Wilfred Zaha, perhaps, maybe Edward as the striker. So in that Crystal Palace team, you can actually look to any of these players. For the Aston Villa team, for the Aston Villa against Leeds, I'll be looking towards Aston Villa as winners. And I'll be saying Philippe Coutinho, Ollie Watkins, Jacob Ramsey should be amongst the goals. For Liverpool, Leicester City, I expect Liverpool to win, although I do not expect Salah to play, but I expect Liverpool to win. And I think if Liverpool are winning without Salah and Mane, it should definitely be Diogo Jota, Trent Alexander-Arnold delivering the balls, Diogo Jota, Andrew Robertson, Bobby Firmino should maybe get an assist somewhere in the middle of all that. If Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain plays, who knows, maybe an outside shot and might actually end up in the back of the net. And for our final game, Arsenal against Wolves, I'll be taking that big swing. Like I said earlier, Wolverhampton Wanderers look more like the big boys in this fixture, and I'm tipping Arsenal as the underdogs. So, anyways, if you are looking at it, you can pick from any side. It's a very big risk. So, maybe on the Wolverhampton Wanderers side, I would say Ruben Neves. I would say João Moutinho. On the Arsenal side, I would say Emile Smith Rowe, Bukayo Saka should actually maybe be the ones to actually get the job done for.
for Arsenal. Yeah.
Well, with all that being said, I can tell you the solo version of Tetras or Cast this midweek is over. We have come to the end. It's time to draw the curtains. I have done my very best in analyzing, dissecting, and including a few tips on your FPLs, my correct score predictions, although a lot of brave predictions right there, but I think you can pick something out of it if you are in the line of gambling. And as for me, myself, and I, on behalf of the Tetra Soccer crew, I am saying, enjoy the game week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I see a lot of goals. And I mean, a lot of goals in this midweek, actually. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I see everything leads to goals. So, if you are me, I would click on that goal option. Who knows? Maybe this might actually be your lucky midweek. So, at the end of the day, thank you very much for joining me. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to serve you. And on this note, I do say, enjoy game week number 25 in the English Premier League.